Jesus says to the two men, "Come and you will see." Jesus invites two of John the Baptizer's disciples to stay with him. And they go ahead and go without having any idea where this Jesus is leading them. How cool is that? Being invited by Jesus to come and to stay with him. All they had on all this was John's word of who this man was, the Lamb of God. And apparently, that's all that they needed to hear. "Where are you staying?" they ask. The question John's disciples asked Jesus is kind of a common one, something like, "Where are you from?" My grammar teacher, and if anybody here is a teacher, which I know there's some, wouldn't like that sentence ending in a proposition, but that's just kind of the way it can, a preposition, excuse me. When we meet someone new, there's one first thing that we always seem to ask them. We would like to know what I would call location questions. Now, if you're from St. Louis, Linnell and I have moved a lot of places and haven't heard it everywhere, but one of the things that always comes up is, "Where did you grow up?" And one of the favorites from St. Louis is, "Where did you go to high school?" I will tell you, I heard that nowhere else other than when I came back to St. Louis. "Where did you go to high school?" Nobody asks that, but we do, because it's important. Only in St. Louis. Our gospel writer uses one word in particular five times, and it's kind of disguised from the fact because in our English language, in our English translation, we have a tendency to just take a word that can be translated in many ways and just use it in just one way. And in this case, the word is meno. And the ESV translates that as stay, because this is what they did. They were to stay with Jesus. For us, actually, meno can mean many other ways. It can mean to dwell. It can mean to abide in Greek. It can remain to remain and even to continue. That's all the ways that this one word meno is used in the Greek, of which we all tie it together with one word, stay. All the types of questions that we had just discussed have to do with what I would call rootedness. When you're rooted, you stay put where you are. How many of you were, St. Louis term, born and raised here? Even I was. Another thing you don't hear everywhere you go. How many of you ever moved away? I'd probably put up both hands. Exactly. But for Linnell and I, it finally came time, albeit late in life, to be rooted once again right here in St. Louis. I guess you could say we have menoed. We have stayed. Let's discuss another use of the word meno. Let's use the term dwell. What happens when you dwell with someone? First of all, you discover probably who they are. You find out quickly what their habits are. Something like maybe they put the lid on the toothpaste. Maybe they don't. Maybe they squeeze that toothpaste from the middle. Maybe they don't. Another thing that happens when we dwell with someone is they absolutely affect us. We pick up their mannerisms, maybe politeness. Maybe the opposite. We hope that doesn't happen. We pick up words from them, like somebody questioned the other day. I think I threw this out in a sermon. I used the word pop when I referred to soda. But we pick those things up. Sometimes we pick up four-letter words with those whom we dwell, like love, right? Sometimes we pick up terms, and Stacy and I have kind of talked about this. I'm going to go ahead and do the warsh, W-A-R-S-H, and I'll tell you, that's how it's spelled. I saw it that way. Or Highway 40. Somebody says, oh, I'm going to go over on Highway 40. Anybody who's not here says, where's that? Well, of course, it's I-64. Our perspectives can even become molded by their perspectives. Simply put, dwelling with someone changes us. So an invitation to dwell can have a rather radical effect upon each and every one of us. I believe John the Baptizer knew this very thing. That's why he points two of his disciples to Jesus, to the one who one day earlier John had confessed, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Well, how did the Baptizer know this? We get a hint. At Jesus' baptism, John saw what God told him to look for. To look for the Holy Spirit coming down as a dove and lighting on him. That's exactly what happens to Jesus. Next, he heard the voice of God the Father from heaven say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That was all that John needed to know who this guy was, the Lamb of God, right? Absolutely. So what happens to the two men who come to dwell with Jesus? We've already heard that they leave the baptizer. Dwelling with Jesus will completely change them, change their lives, change the lives of all of his disciples. Jesus will tell them that they will go from fishing to becoming fishers of men. I wonder if they knew what that meant when Jesus first told them all that. What it would mean was, instead of tossing out their nets into the Sea of Galilee to catch fish, they would now be tossing out their nets, the eternal net of God for the salvation of all people. How would they learn that? Because 24/7 they would see and hear the love of God on the very face of Jesus, up to and including the day of his crucifixion, where they will witness at that point the full scope of all the love that God has, and it will be on that Good Friday. And then they will witness the full reach of God's love, the full reach of God's salvation on Easter Sunday. 50 days later, on the first Christian Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, which had remained on Jesus, now will come and remain on them. Meno. Stay. Dwell. Remain. Continue with Jesus. Family of God, when someone asks you where you were staying, is your answer typically Baldwin, Manchester, Valley Park, DuPo, Illinois? What if you were invited to stay with Jesus? Cool, right? Absolutely. You have been invited to stay with Jesus. God has already invited each and every one of you to stay with Jesus, beginning with your baptism. The baptism that you leave out in the whole world. The baptism which you live out in the family of Zion. The baptism you live out as part of the Church of Jesus Christ. You and I are menoing with one another, and we are menoing with Jesus every moment of every day. Jesus invited you and me to stay with him, to stay with the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, takes away our sin, and gives us in exchange eternal life. That is what Jesus is leading you on. God has promised multiple times that he will always dwell with the Christian church, the Church of Jesus Christ, and has promised to grow that church one person at a time, just as Jesus did when Andrew went to his brother Peter. What does he say? We have found the Messiah, which means Christ. What does Andrew do? He brings him to Jesus. And that is where they dwelled. Then and dwell eternally. Jesus calls you and me to call those we love to also to dwell with Jesus, just as Andrew did in his excitement, because he had found the Messiah. I think it bears repeating. You and I dwell with Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.